Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, the 9th of October. Dusty and Cam back together again. How are you?
No, the better question is, how are you?
I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling just okay.
What a dynamite answer that was. Okay.
Feeling okay. I ran
Sounds
in.
Sounds like every kid when he comes home from school. How was your school today? It was fine. It was cool. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I ran in the Hood to Coast series high desert event out at Brasada Ranch over the weekend.
The moon.
I played golf. Golf was great.
Good.
Golf was great out there. It's very cold in Central Oregon, but the golf was better than my running. I can go
how
ahead.
How is that
and I
possible?
What do you mean?
I don't know how that's
always better to be golfing.
Oh, okay. You said better than my running. Your running wasn't good?
Because no,
essentially,
it was okay.
you're doing is putting one foot in front of the other with more pace.
Yeah, that's
true. It's a lot easier to screw up at golf.
It
is a lot
definitely.
Easier to screw up at golf. But I enjoy golfing. I do not enjoy running. But the Hood to Coast event met P1 Chris out there who was running in it. And apparently he did far better than I did because the guy on my team said, he goes, there's a dude with a beard that just cruised right past me. I was like, oh, that's Chris.
Yeah,
he texted in the show last Friday being like, well, you're not going to be able to watch any of the college football because you're going to be running.
And be running.
I was able to stream a little bit of college football, but it is something I would definitely do again.
You just said you hate, very confused.
I did not hate it. It was an enjoyable time. I just don't enjoy running all that much, but it's a cool event that they put on. Yeah. It basically, they just have you run till a huge party at the end. Mm. And I was asked by my wife and her friends like, so, hey, does that mean you're in for like the actual Hood to Coast? No, no, because that is three legs. It's far more running and it's like a 36 hour event. This was just 12 hours. We started at like 5:30 in the morning. We got done at 3:30 in the afternoon. We ran. I had one of my legs. It was 564 feet vertically.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a mile and a half flat.
Uphill.
A mile and a half uphill. And then a mile straight. And it was...
Oh, that doesn't sound enjoyable.
It was not enjoyable at all. Oh. Not one bit. But outside of that, it was good times. Good times, good people. A lot of booze drank. A lot of golf being played.
And what is the charity again? Or is
it's Hood to Coast. It's the Hood to Coast.
So Hood to Coast is a group that consistently does... Do they have any more of these events?
So they have... all we know of it is it started as like the Hood to Coast relay where they run from Timberline Lodge to Seaside, right? Yeah. In a big relay. Well, they have a series of them now, and this was the High Desert one. And then they have like Hood to Coast Israel and Taiwan, and they're having them in South Carolina and Washington, D.C. and Texas. Hilton Head, South Carolina is getting one. They have a bunch of them. One's in China. God. That's coming up.
It's like these mud run things those people do. You know those mud games? What are those things? You know they do the mud run things?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
It's a tour.
It is. But basically you just get the big one is the Hood to Coast where they have like 12 people.
Gotcha.
All the other ones are like five to six people. And you run your different legs and you get in, you get out. And my goodness, there was a girl, hashtag girls was the group. They averaged 6 minutes and 56 seconds per mile.
Again, very impressive. I that's six a minutes. Lot. Enjoy running.
It rained. Mm-hmm. It was about 35, yeah. and it poured down rain on my first leg.
That's a little 35.
Yeah.
It was, boy, 2 degrees away from snowing.
The guys that were out there setting up the course, they were like, yeah, we went out to set it up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and there were icicles hanging from like the irrigation stuff. It was beautiful, though. Beautiful area. Out
crisp,
there,
crisp air.
Yeah, but I'm back. I'm not very sore. Okay. So that's why I'm just okay.
Good.
You know, I have ran for fun. As you say, run for fun.
Run for fun?
What the hell kind of fun is that?
I don't know,
it's
man.
It's a model I live by on a daily basis, but congratulations, everybody, and especially yourself for able to continue that.
Oh.
And enjoy that as you age.
And then I also want to report, you said, at the beginning of this, you said, hey, what's the fastest you can run a mile?
I
still don't know.
You still don't know.
I still have no idea what my fastest mile is. I
is
know
like
that,
to this day or ever?
No, not both.
Both.
Both. In the training. So the fastest mile that I ran was in the event, and then it was my very first mile of the whole thing. And that was 5 minutes and 42 seconds.
That's moving.
But then remember that uphill mile I was telling you?
Yeah.
11 minutes, 11 seconds.
Yeah, I'm part of that. It sounds like a brisk walk.
I had zero. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was zero consistency in my running. And elevation is a thing too over there. And everybody's like, the elevation is really getting to me. And I said, well, if you're out of shape,
sure,
then all miles feel bad. So it felt the same for me. It just felt the same.
Great point.
But football was back. Now we have, I feel bad that I missed yesterday because there's so much good football to talk about.
Oh, never feel bad if you're out recovering.
But we can get into a great thing, which is Oregon-Washington week. We can really start diving in. Did you and Luke dive into Oregon-Washington week at all yesterday?
We did a small amount. We did a lot of college football. We did make sure we talked about how the Pac-12 is going to be set up to make the college football play. Oh, wait. Plenty of scenarios. Lots of fun scenarios.
You went through the scenario. Lay it out for me.
I laid out a very, very good scenario.
How's the Pac-12 getting in?
It's not.
Oh, damn.
It's not. As how we sit right now, don't feel very confident. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks,
okay.
By the end of the month, confidence might go a little bit higher.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
I'm not diving deep into the reasoning, but there are plenty of opportunities this year for complete, utter chaos, which I'm a chaos fan.
Okay.
And I want 8 teams in. Hmm. So I want utter chaos again. And every time. If we see the 2 best teams in the country, which are Georgia and Alabama, the winner of that game, one might get left out.
I think that the Pac-12's path strictly goes through this weekend, though. If there is going to be a chaotic scenario where one team actually does get in.
Don't tell Colorado that.
Yeah, I know. But it'll be, well.
I know.
It'll be through this week, though, because it'll either be, they're going to have, Colorado, in order to get in, will have to beat Oregon or Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever team wins this game in Eugene on Saturday is the one that Colorado better be rooting for the rest of the year. Because the better that one of those teams does, the higher the Pac-12 championship game will be come the end of the year. Now, does Washington play Colorado later this year?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so Colorado's probably rooting for Oregon in this one, and then they want to beat Washington.
Well,
and then have a one-loss Oregon waiting for them in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I don't know if it would matter either way. That could be. Yeah, it would make more sense either way. If they don't want to face a two-loss team heading in, so they could have a repeat if they lose. I'm sorry, if they win and then the Huskies win,
right,
and then they end up playing each other, it could be a repeat.
Mm. But that doesn't really help you all that much, does it?
Well, it helps Colorado. I mean, it wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Because they'll be like, well, they didn't beat the same team twice.
No, it doesn't help them at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get this thing going, in order to embrace Oregon-Washington week, we've got you covered. Ducks Trivia Night, powered by Frostbird Coors Light, hosted by the one and only Jason Swigard, is going down this week. Test your knowledge and win prizes that are up for grabs. Ducks Husky tickets that will be up for grabs. A Yeti cooler is on the line. A Ducks Score gift card, Ducks swag. It all kicks off at 6 p.m. on October 11th. That is this Thursday at Bleachers Sports Bar off Saltzman Road in Beaverton. That's over by kind of by Sunset High School.
Mm-hmm.
That area, Cedar Mill area. Contestants, the spots are limited, so get there early. Go to 1080thefan.com for information. So we've got you covered all week long. And then Friday, I'm going out to Power Kia down in Salem. So if you don't have tickets to the game, you want to get in the door, you can win some at Duck Trivia Night with Swag on Thursday the 11th, or Power Kia in Salem. I will be there. You can enter to win tickets to Ducks Huskies on Friday. So we got two chances for you to get in the door to Autzen Stadium for Oregon and Washington this week at the Trivia Night Thursday at Bleachers, or at Power Kia down in Salem on Friday. So we got your back here on The Fan, and we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got we have to talk a little Monday Night Football action in Drew Brees. Is Drew Brees the most underappreciated athlete in sports right now? Heck, he may be one of the most underappreciated sports athletes ever. He sets a record yesterday. We're going to talk Oregon, Washington, in the trenches, in the rivalry that is being embraced by both sides. Got some NFL chatter. Cam has been firing up the Coach Speak translator as well. Mm-hmm. You're ready to go here. Mm-hmm. Have you got coaches that are lying their way through the 1/3 poll of the NFL season?
Well, we're almost at the halfway point. We're midway through the second quarter. I have two coaches.
Isn't that how the total football NFL way to approach the season? Like, hey,
the dog days are coming. The month of November is a very difficult month.
We got one quarter
separate
down.
The men from the boys. Well, no, they're all men.
When did the doldrums start? So the first quarter is important.
Bang! Right after Halloween.
Right after Halloween.
Right after Halloween, you get into that month of November. It's just like, we have 2 months left. High school football's ending. College football's almost over. NFL looks, that's where the problem lies. It's like, oh my God, we've been going since August. It's a long trog through.
The long slog of the football season. All right, before we get to Monday Night Football, let's get the show on the road, shall we?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right. This day in sports history, something happened that I believe will never happen again in sports. 1938. It was the NFL's first penalty-free game. Played between the Cleveland Rams and the Chicago Bears. The Rams won 14-7. Could you imagine a football game in 2018 that does not have a penalty in it?
I don't know if that's possible. I don't think so. I can't.
There's no way that game
very difficult
will ever happen again in the current state of football.
I think officials are incentivized by how many flags they do throw. I think they're encouraged to be able to police the game by making players afraid of having penalties. So I think, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
What are the least amount of flags I've seen in an NFL game or a collegiate game?
Ooh.
Gosh, under 5, under 6? I don't think we'll see it. I think we see it towards the end of the season better than we do at the beginning of seasons.
Well, heck, like 5 penalties in a game and you're thinking your team did pretty well, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if you have 5 penalties, it's like, we played a pretty clean game here. Buck, maybe some homework for this break. Least penalized game in the NFL this season.
Fair enough.
Try to find it. All right, where we start, the Saints defense shows up and Alex Smith doesn't. Monday Night Football, a rout in the Bayou. 6:15 on The Fan. You give me something I can hold on to. Monday Night Football saw the Saints down in Orleans beat the Redskins 43-19. My goodness, what a rout on Monday Night Football. But the real story of the game was Drew Brees passing Peyton Manning on the all-time record passing list. And he did so on a 62-yard touchdown strike, which isn't that the most fitting way for any of these records to be broken? Isn't that amazing how sports will do that, where you find that the record is broken on a home, like Jeter gets his 3,000th hit on a home run. Or, you know, these guys, no matter what it is, it's a touchdown, it's a home run, it's a game-winning drive or something like that that these records are broken on. 62-yard touchdown is the most fitting way Drew Brees gets that record.
Well, certainly if you're the Washington Redskins, it wasn't the way you wanted to have it broke against you.
No.
Yeah, that was a really sad performance by the Skins last night, but it was a very impressive performance by what the Saints have been able to do, for at least for the last, has it been 13 years now since 2005 when Sean Payton and Drew Brees got together. And that offense looks as good as you'll see in any NFL team right now. The space they run it. I mean, I think the most fun I had listening to that last night was just listening to the play call, which I don't have it off the top of my head, but it was something I heard an all-go special, X cross, Y over. Something that just made me perk up and go, God, I love that call. I think about that all the time, and I go, the best part about being in that huddle with guys like that, and you see that Drew Brees, and you could see the Saints and the energy to that place has and that city. There's nothing that means more to that city than that organization.
No, it doesn't. And now that you have the New Orleans Saints, which the NFC South is a, man, that thing is a boondoggle, where you look at defense is optional. It is the Big 12 of the NFL. I think that what was the stat heading into last night, all four teams, the three of the bottom four teams in points per game mm-hmm. reside in the NFC South. And last night you had a Redskins team there where their offense had been clicking. They'd been pretty good with Alex Smith at quarterback, but they averaged heading into that one, I think they're around 30 points per game offensively, but you saw the New Orleans Saints kind of clamp down on defense. 43, only 19 points allowed this day and age in the NFL. I mean, well, any era in the NFL, 19 points is going to give you a chance to win the game. Was that something more of New Orleans defense maybe turning a corner, or was Alex Smith as bad as he seemed last night?
I know every time I look at what Jay Gruden tries to put together and I go, okay, Alex Smith is going to be that type of quarterback where you're going to have ebbs and flows a little bit. I think the running game is non-existent. I mean, Adrian Peterson dislocates his shoulder. He's old. It's really hard to watch these guys that want to continue to play and they just get hurt. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating as an older player because you can see that they still have a little bit of juice in the tank. The body's just not willing to get there. And you can't run the football. And Alex Smith's arm talent has never really been there. And some of the throws I watched and I just went, you're kind of just willing the ball. Then you look on the other side, this guy's almost 40 years old. He's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And his arm talent is still as good as anybody. The release, the ball, the target. I mean, it's not elite speed coming off Drew Brees' hand, but it is always accurate. I mean, it's always accurate. You know how incredible that is. I love watching him every preseason getting the bucket toss contest or the target contest, what he just loves. And you can just see it, man. That's a man that loves playing football.
Talk about accuracy in that game. You had Drew Brees went 26 of 29.
Space.
Three incompletions, and I believe one of those incompletions was a drop. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't remember the other two, but the first one, the one that I remember, I believe it was Thomas. It kind of ricocheted off of him, which would be a drop in the NFL. But other than that, I mean, he was dang near perfection in that game, in accuracy and a brain kind of dissecting. Like you mentioned the play call at the beginning, and Drew Brees said it after the game. He's like, that's one I'm going to remember for a while, yeah. Obviously because it was a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. But you have these guys where in the NFL, the separating factor between like the elite guys and the good and great guys are the fact that they can put all of those things together. Like Alex Smith is a very smart quarterback, right? But he doesn't have a very strong arm, and he's not mm-hmm. overly accurate, right? Those have kind of been the knocks on Alex Smith. Well, Drew Brees has not a very strong arm, but is wildly accurate and is one of the sharpest quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, we look at all these guys, and that's why, like, the tools that you look in the pre-draft process are all often you miss on them because you can't dissect all of those things when evaluating a college quarterback because the offense may be simplified, or you're just watching a guy work out.
Let's throw the Patriots offense out for a second because it's always been a variation of different styles. I mean, from when Charlie Rice first designed it, now you could see what Tom Brady's kind of evolved into it. But if I threw and I took out and I took Drew Brees and I took Peyton Manning in his heyday in his system, and if I now dig Aaron Rodgers and look at the quarterbacks that are in the systems now, and now you get to see Sean McVay, what is the overwhelming arc of when you watch these offenses work and why Drew Brees is so efficient with the football and why you get to see it, I can put it all down to Bill Walsh and what he created in the West Coast system is compared to watching what Seattle would do or compared to seeing other offenses, now you see what Washington does. And then last year, what the Eagles did and how good they are mm-hmm. in that Super Bowl run is that the efficiency and the speed the ball comes out in this offense with space. And that is really how football is played anymore. If you can't play in space, every single good quarterback, just like a Drew Brees, just like an Aaron Rodgers, and like a Tom Brady, they don't give you time on defense. They really don't. The space and the ball accuracy and the pressure they put on secondaries now, it's incredible. And I would argue that the New Orleans Saints Superdome could be one of the best home field advantages in all of football, because it just feels like when they're there, they're playing with 13 guys on offense. Every single time I watch it, even when they played at the beginning of the year, played Tampa Bay, and they didn't play, and nobody played any defense in the opening game, and they ended up losing to Fitzmagic. It didn't matter, because the amount of points that were scored in that place is just incredible. It's a track meet.
And that's one of those things as well, where the offensive minds are so bright, the quarterbacks are so far along, but also we briefly discussed this earlier when we were talking about the penalties. The game has incentivized you to be offensively proficient, right? Like, everything is geared more towards throwing the football down the field as well. And that makes it a lot easier, too, when you're talking about that space that Bill Walsh created. Could you imagine a Bill Walsh offense now? Like, they would be...
Well, it's evolved into so much. The original West Coast system would not... It doesn't look like it. I mean, it was a two-back offense. It was Roger Craig. It was Rathman. It was small... little quicks. There was always a play action. It is now turned into, there is gun. The terminology is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of triangle offense. It is true about triangles. It's all the same. It's just so much more spaced out and faster. And I think it's awesome. I think it's so fun to watch. And the NFL. The NFL's got it figured out too, because when you're a team like New Orleans, or let's talk about the NFC East and how bad it is. Washington Redskins are still leading that division at 2-2.
Yeah.
It's a bad division, but football, especially about the NFL compared to college football, you can lose 4 or 5 games and still be a very, very good football team. You're never out of it. I mean, this is what's great about the NFL. You never feel like, ah, our season's over. But now in college football, you know, 1 or 2 losses and your season's over. The way that they play offense now in the league, it's never put more pressure on quarterbacks. And it makes it exciting for how well quarterbacks have to play. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning in this league. End of story.
To make your point about the offenses in the NFC East, that is the only division in all of football that does not have at least one team with a positive point differential.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like 500 is the best team.
This is the 2010 NFC West. Remember when Seattle won it at 7-9?
Yeah.
And went to the playoffs and had the beast quake?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this division, I think... That's what this division is going to end up looking like.
Well,
it's tough because you're looking at the Super Bowl champs in third at 2-3.
But a negative 1 point differential. Mm-hmm. So they're actually the best. Well, you could
turn
team
it around.
So
I mean, it's still wide open.
That is problematic because every other division in football has at least one team with a positive 10 point differential. And nobody is really, if you look at, we have 2 undefeated teams. And then how many 1-loss teams do we have? 4 1-loss teams, 2 undefeated and 4 1-loss teams.
There's 2 clear, very good football teams. It's very clear. The Chiefs and the Rams right now. Well, and we're going to see them in Mexico City, what, in 4 weeks? I think we're going to see them in 4 weeks.
That's kind of like that game's going to happen in Mexico City?
Yeah.
That's too bad that Kansas City or LA doesn't get that as a home game.
I don't like it.
Neutral site.
I know, but
at elevation.
Global expansion. Although it's just in Mexico City.
Yeah, but I think like 5 years ago when they were planning that game out, they were like, it's Chiefs and Rams.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Fisher's still going to have a job somehow. We're going to just go ahead and throw those 2 teams down there. Mm-hmm. And now it's the only 2 unbeatens. I have a question for you, though. Cincinnati Bengals. How good are they?
I don't know how good they are. No,
may be a question for later in the show.
Well, certainly. I mean, how good are the Pittsburgh Steelers now after they just blew? I mean, This is the NFL. Every season is different. Every season. You think you know what you got? You think you got it all figured out? Easy repeat, right, Philly? Nope.
Well,
Every year.
We can even say that. Like, I'm getting roped into the Andy Reid is finally going to put it together for a whole season. There's no way that they melt down at the end of the year like they usually do.
Yeah, you have to prove it.
And then there's Cincinnati. I'm like, okay, Cincinnati's actually going to be good this year. This is going to be the year for Cincinnati. They're 4-1. They're starting to roll some teams, and then I'm buying into everything that the NFL wants me to, which is never trust those teams that you shouldn't trust. And Cincinnati has proved that I shouldn't. Andy Reid in the past, how many hot starts have Andy Reid coach teams had only to kind of falter down the stretch? And it's really no, it's not, well, some of the games are his fault with clock management, But injuries happen in the game of football. It's a war of attrition. And as you said earlier, we're only a quarter of the way through the season. We're just starting the second quarter of the NFL football season. We still have no idea what a lot of these teams are. But what we saw last night was the Saints defense finally show up. Alex Smith came back down to earth, and Drew Brees is now the NFL's all-time passing leader, passing Peyton Manning, which begs the question, Drew Brees, most underappreciated athlete in sports? 55305, that's a better You Today text line. Right now it's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Drew Brees. He sets the NFL's all-time passing yardage mark, passing Peyton Manning. He's got over 72,000 yards passing now, which is an incredible feat in its own right. But not only that, he has the completions record too. And I believe he's quarterback, has the highest quarterback rating in NFL history as well. And I was sitting there watching Drew Brees and watching his reaction to that game. And they had him mic'd up and they had him running over to his teammates and talking to his kids and stuff. And it made me think, like, yes, we understand Drew Brees is a good quarterback. He's a great quarterback in the NFL. Is he underappreciated? Because I don't think this is the NFL's all-time completions and yardage leader. And I think we would probably think of him as the fourth best quarterback of his time. Fourth behind Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers.
I'm putting him equal to, in my mind, I think he's equal to and as valuable, in my mind, as Aaron Rodgers. One Super Bowl each. Now, he's never had an MVP. That's the thing, is that the MVP season, but he's always been wrapped around or just been squashed in the shadow of some of these other players. But what he's been able to do, and the other thing is, too, is that you always look at the traditional Green Bay team. It's an outside team. And then the first person will tell you is that, oh, you've been in a dome. Well, Peyton Manning was in a dome for, I think, 14 years of his career. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that about the dome issue. It's finding the right synergy with a head coach. And that's what Sean Payton's been able to do. Maybe they give Sean Payton a little bit more credit than Drew Brees, but you still have to have a guy that's 6 foot tall and the foundation of the undersized quarterback. I mean, he is way before Doug Flutie came into this game, because Doug Flutie was a very good player, but he didn't step up and say, we're going to throw you to the wayside. And that's what the San Diego Chargers did after he tore up his shoulder and said, oh, he's done. We're just going to get rid of you. We're going to move on because we have Phillip Rivers in the draft, same as Eli Manning. We're going to move on. And then he saved that entire city in 2005, did everything for that city and brought a Super Bowl. I think he's extremely underappreciated. He's exactly like Larry Fitzgerald is in Phoenix. I mean, you look at these nice guys, and we admire the Odell Beckhams. We talk about the Colin Kaepernicks because they're extremely polarizing. Yet when somebody is genuinely an amazing man, father, leader, spokesman in that city, you could see how much he means to that city. You can see how much to his family and his kids. And when you think of a quarterback, is there anybody other than Drew Brees that you go, wow, okay, this is exactly who I want my son to be like and emulate? I mean, you see Russell Wilson, you see these guys that do things the right way, yet you find every reason to not prop them up to the top. And Drew Brees is a lock first ballot Hall of Famer and an amazing dude. And just to be able to get to watch him play, I feel very fortunate to get a chance to say that I was a Saint and he is a Saint.
You know, there's a lot of things that
I'm not a true Saint. But he is a saint.
There's a lot of things that go into like that Drew Brees and what you're talking about and his underappreciated nature. Because, I mean, you mentioned there's the things that Tom Brady has been in Deflategate. There's been the Spygate stuff. There's kind of been those things that have kind of hovered over his career.
Sure.
That were directly implicated with him. You had the Peyton Manning and the PED thing with what was it called? Al Jazeera had that report where apparently PEDs were sent to his wife's name and for him at his home. Aaron Rodgers and everything that happens kind of off the field where he's kind of, he crushes his own head coach. And just last week we were going over this with Aaron Rodgers where he's blaming his coach on play calling, right? He's got the riff with his family. Like everything that you can look into these guys, either personal or on the field careers, there's been something that people have been able to nitpick on the guys that are listed above Drew Brees. What has it been for Drew Brees? Guy's been a model citizen on and off the field. You know, Bounty Gate was his defense. It wasn't him. It wasn't like the Deflate Gate thing where he was Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games for it, though I'll call it a witch hunt. There's always been kind of these things that kind of cast a shadow over all the other guys that are considered better than him. And he has been that model guy. And he goes up to his kids in the biggest moment of his career and he says, guys, and if you put your mind to it, we can do anything that you want to. And that's kind of embodied in Drew Brees. He is that Larry Fitzgerald mold of underappreciated guys.
Underappreciated because maybe he just does it the right way. Just plain and simple. Hard work. Does everything he has to do. Is a true consummate leader. The guys you can look at, everything you can say is genuine. Someone could look, you can, I think it's easy to find somebody like a, when you're seeing a Jameis Winston try to get on a sideline, give you some fake cheer of I'm going to eat a W, you know it just doesn't, there's a connection for some people. For Drew Brees, there is an immediate connection from his cheer that he's always had to the way the Saints get ready from after that 2005 of Katrina. There is a connection that he's made for that city. And I think that's, you know, we just blink and it's 13 years later. I mean, that's the most incredible part of this career is like, bang, how did this happen? What did we miss? Did we miss those 5,000 yards? Did you miss Jimmy Graham saying, I'm a tight end? No, I'm a wide receiver. Now it's Alvin Kamara. You see these types of guys he's gone through, Marcus Colston, all these super athletes that he's made incredible because Drew Brees does things better than everybody else.
I got a guy who may fall into this kind of Drew Brees category. 55305, is Drew Brees the most underappreciated athlete? Maybe not just currently, but in our generation. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. All right, 55305, Better You Today text line. That we're talking underrated and underappreciated players. You mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, which is a great one with Larry in Arizona. But when I look at Drew Brees, is it fair to kind of say we don't appreciate Drew Brees like we didn't appreciate Tim Duncan in San Antonio?
Is it because of personality? Drew Brees got a very good personality.
No, it's not personality. It's just underappreciating their greatness because although Drew Brees has never won an MVP, he's won Super Bowl MVP. He has not been the MVP of the league before, and Tim Duncan was a two-time MVP. But just like Drew Brees, Tim Duncan is one of the best to ever play the game, and we never at the time of his career felt like he was the best player in the National Basketball Association. There was Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, you know, a brief overlap with Michael Jordan in his career, Tim Duncan's career. Yeah. Like, there was never the time where you're like, Tim Duncan is the best player in the NBA, and it's not even a question because he did win two MVPs, but it was like there were still guys that were considered better than him, and Drew Brees kind of falls into that category where Duncan never gave you any reason not to make you feel like he's not the best player in the league. He was just really good at his craft and really good at what he did.
Has there ever been a player that you look at and maybe wasn't on the biggest brand or maybe wasn't on the largest market team, and then all of a sudden just came out of nowhere and said, oh, no, he's now a Giant, or no, he's now a Green Bay Packer. We look at traditional players, and we always look at a brand match. You don't think of the Saints as a dominant brand. You really don't. But the only reason the Saints have that brand is because of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Remember, I was a part of the only win ever in the Saints' history in the playoffs, and it was in 2001 beating the Rams. That was it before those two showed up, and then Drew Brees is the engine. I mean, he just drives everything for that entire region and that entire area. I mean, after playing in New Orleans, I didn't really realize how important it is for that region. But they're the only team that's a professional franchise in that entire. Think about it: from Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, all around that entire area, the Saints are it. You have to get to Florida, and certainly the Dallas Cowboys carry a lot of weight too, but that's still far away, northern Louisiana. That place, the Saints are it. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about the Pelicans. Sorry, it just doesn't have any weight. Mm, no. The Saints carry a ton of Gulf Coast followers, and that's been amazing for that entire Fleur-de-Lis brand.
When you say that, that means like you would think that he would be bigger, and he is a huge deal down
huge
there.
Huge deal. We don't appreciate here because we're so stuck up here in the Northwest. We don't know it.
Well, and I think that the country as a whole kind of goes to that. Like, I don't think that in the Midwest they appreciate, and that's where he played his college ball. Like, and that's one of the things is, remember, coming out of college, he was a product of Joe Tiller's system at Purdue. Yeah. And
superstar in high school in Texas, though.
And then, like in the Midwest, it's like, yeah, Drew's really good, but is he one of the best of the best? He kind of also fits, like, the two guys that popped into my mind were Tim Duncan, and then the other one was Frank Thomas with the White Sox.
Yeah, the Big Hurt.
Like, he was a
Auburn superstar tight end,
Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Frank Thomas is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And it was always like, Frank Thomas never really considered like the best because he played in the era with Ken Griffey Jr., who could also be argued as underappreciated because he was tucked up here in the Pacific Northwest for most of his career. You know, like Drew Brees kind of falls into that category of the player that is elite, dominant, and one of the best at his craft, but never is going to get the recognition that he feels he deserves. And this text on the Better You Today text line, does Kurt Warner fall in the same vein as Drew
Brees? Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner. I mean, his story is still amazing, from bagging groceries to winning a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know if that's underappreciated or just you look at him and go, man, I mean, that's not only just rare to be able to do that and go from being an Iowa wasn't he a barnstormer?
Yes,
I think
he was.
He was an Iowa barnstormer from an Arena Football League. The story's amazing. I mean, if you look back to Drew Brees, that injury that he took, if you ever seen that on film, it's one of the nastiest things that you could ever see, his shoulder go completely torn and dislocated. It was an awful injury when he took that. They said that his shoulder would never be the same. And you want to talk about arm talent. You know how good you have to be in the NFL to have an average arm? And Drew Brees has an average arm to be able to throw it. Alex Smith and Drew Brees have average arms. But the way Drew Brees delivers the football, it makes it look like it's not even in the same realm.
That is the ripple effect of that injury, too.
Yeah.
Think of the ripple effect, because he ended up wanting to go and sign with the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban was the head coach of the Dolphins then.
Yeah.
If he ends up in Miami, is Nick Saban at Alabama? Because remember, he had to go and sign Dante Culpepper because ownership vetoed Drew Brees because of that shoulder injury going to Miami. Does Nick Saban end up being more successful in the NFL with Drew Brees?
So. No, I don't think so. I think it goes hand in hand. I believe in my life, I live this on a daily basis, as things happen for a reason. No matter how you look at it, it's just a weird thing I think of. Okay, everybody's got weird things. That's one of my weird things. Sometimes we always see perfect storms come together, and no pun on what Hurricane Katrina was, but that city needed something, and there was a storm because Sean Payton should have been Dallas's head football coach. Should have. He was on that staff, and Jerry Jones threw him cast aside, and they said, you know what, we're not going to go after him. We're going to bring back, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring back all these other guys. We're going to bring back Jason Garrett. And the rumor was a few years ago that Sean Payton was leaving after Bounty Gate. I mean, he's out of here. After his suspension, he's going to the Cowboys. Well, the Cowboys are desperate for somebody like a Sean Payton.
They're probably going to fire Jason Garrett and move on to try to get a guy like Sean Payton as well.
Yeah.
55305, the Better You Today text line. It's amazing how those two guys will kind of join together and what they've done for that city. Because, I mean, you mentioned Hurricane Katrina. Also, remember Tom Benson was going to rip the team out. Remember, and they were going to be moving to San Antonio. And then it happened to where they caught fire and the city rallied behind them.
I would argue right now that Drew Brees is the most impressionable athlete for a region ever.
Influential or just impressionable?
Both.
Okay. Whoa.
I mean, there is no, when you say the Gulf Coast, when you say the South in professional football, I can't think of anybody that meant more to a region. Now, you could say Peyton Manning, but it was Indianapolis. I mean, Tom Brady is everything up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. I get it, but the Red Sox were there way before, and the Celtics were there way before. There's more influential guys up there. because when we talk about it, just owning a complete region, that is everything.
It needs to be in professional sports because college is a different animal.
Let's be specific with that. Yeah. It is synonymous with Saints and Drew Brees. It's just like two words that go hand in hand. Those two. I mean, I can't.
He's the best player in that franchise's history, and it's not even close.
Won't ever be beaten. At least not in my lifetime.
55305, the better you today text line. Before we move on, P1 Dustin had a pretty decent point. I think Drew Brees, what hurts Drew Brees in terms of being underappreciated is the 2014 through 2016 seasons, 3 straight 7-9 seasons. Can you name the last time Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Big Ben, any of those elite quarterbacks went 7-9 once, leaving out rookie years and injuries, let alone 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
And that does have a lot to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that probably does have a lot of weight.
Those are forgetful years. You're right. There's been a few forgetful years. But look, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been back to the Super Bowl.
But I think that goes
since 2010. It's quite a long time.
They have the same number of Super Bowl wins.
They do. They do.
55305. The better you today text line. More of your feedback plus the Cowboys coaching problems that you just mentioned with Jason Garrett. Maybe reaching a boiling point. Some NFL chatter plus Oregon, Washington, the rivalry embraced and coach speak translator. That is all after Hot and Cool next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.